Blog Talk Radio.
For the next hour or so. So if you would, please get some paper and a pen, and you can take down any notes to write down comments or questions that you might have. And at the end of the ministry, we'll get to those so that we can all be sharpened thereby. So if you would, just join your hearts with me in a word of prayer as we get into the word for today. Father, I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of your word. Breathe on me so that I can speak. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Flow through me and cause me to move by your spirit. Let healing and deliverance break forth in this place and this time. Because of your word, your spirit, and your love. Live big in me. I now decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life as I now share the living word, the bread of life. Jesus, reveal to us the Father and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts and minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives. Cause us to grow in the grace of God that has appeared unto all men as you teach us how we should live in this present world. May we now awake to righteousness and slumber no more by walking in the Spirit and in the fullness of his grace, as we sojourn in the land of promise, going from faith to faith and from glory to glory. For you've made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirits and birth victory in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Well, beloved, we want to deal with a subject that's still connected to the pursuit of faith, because I found out that that is a life's journey, because Jesus is going to be looking for faith when he comes back. That's what he says in Luke chapter 18. He says, when the Son of Man comes back, will he find faith in the earth? And so then, if he's looking for faith, it would be wise for us to participate actively in faith exercises, if you would. You know, we're supposed to do greater things. Now, Jesus said himself, greater works than this shall you do. So that tells me that some of the things that we've been seeing or experiencing, they might not be all that we're supposed to do. I mean, we're supposed to be able to be a witness. And if the people in our sphere of influence, they only see the stuff that has happened before all the time, all we're doing is changing people's names, that really is not greater works, is it? He told us to raise the dead. Flat out what it says. And I don't know, excuse me, of many people that are, you know, thinking about raising the dead. In fact, there are people among us, might be us, whichever way that goes, that are scared because of the COVID-19. You know, and I get the place where that starts, but that should come to an end in the body of Christ. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that the last enemy that will be put under the feet of Jesus is death. So, you know, we got somewhere to go. So today we're going to kind of go to the sister part of the same ministry of pursuit of faith. We're going to go into because he said so. And so, again, you know, Jesus, well, first of all, he's not a man that he should lie, nor the Son of Man that he should repent. Has he not said it? Shall he not make it good? Has he not spoken it? Shall he not bring it to pass? So since he's already said it, then we have the right, the ability, and the need to walk in what he said. Because he said it, we have the right, the need, and the ability to walk it out. Wow. That's kind of a interesting thing to hear it as I said it. See, we give God glory because we are believers. We give God praise because of a life that is lived from the perspective of heaven's thoughts, not our thoughts. Things are going to get real interesting in the world, because the world's definition and process of thought is so much lower than what God has asked us to do, commanded us to do, given us the power to do from the very beginning. When God made man, he told man, have dominion. After you're fruitful, after you multiply, after you replenish, have dominion. He didn't tell us to let things dominate over us. Situations and circumstances are supposed to be under our feet, but sometimes, as it is, we don't exercise our faith to get above our problems. We're still trying to go through our problems, but that's not what we're supposed to do. As saints of the Most High God, we've been made the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. Only with our eyes shall we see the reward of the wicked. See, I'm Psalms 91 protected, and I'm Deuteronomy 28 invested. And when you read those two chapters and make that yours, make it personal, make it your mantra, then we'll stop living by what we can deal with tangibly, and we'll start living by what we understand through the Spirit, because he said so. Once God says anything, it is then an established truth. Our job is to walk it out, navigate, sojourn in the land of promise. When we agree with what he's already said, then we get to see that word become our reality. We don't have to live someone else's reality. You know, sometimes when we hear a testimony, we forget that that was their passage from the bad to the good. We hear a testimony and we think sometimes that now that's all I can expect is what happened for them. I don't know why we want to take Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and throw it away. He says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you can ask or think, according to the power that's working in you. So if we're not working the power, we're probably going to come up short on the exceedingly, abundantly, above. Amen. See, I appreciate you encouraging me with your faith, but my faith should not stop at the same dimension that your testimony stopped at. Did you not know that your testimony is already over and now you have to live by faith for something else? Amen. You're supposed to be able to bring the glory of God into a situation, whatever it is. It really doesn't matter. He knows how to deliver by many or by few. He knows no limits or no restraints. Those that know their God, they will be strong and they will do exploits. See, we're supposed to give God the opportunity to display. That's what he said. He said, the eyes of the Lord, they run to and fro over the whole earth to do what? To show himself strong in the behalf of those that have a perfect heart towards him. He's looking for opportunities to show out in our life because he said so. See, he wants us to be more than a conqueror. Not just a conqueror. A conqueror would be one who has a testimony and hasn't developed any other testimonies. That's just a conqueror. But we've been called to be more than our last testimony. Amen. He says that he wants to daily load us down with benefits. Daily. Load. See? I mean, we have to begin to expand our thinking, to expand our heart's position. No, I'm not talking about pride. I'm talking about pleasing God, because without faith, it is impossible to please God. See, we're going to have to get past the point of just what he did and allow him to do greater. None of these scriptures did I write in your Bible. They were already there. I'm just trying to stir them up by the Holy Spirit to cause you to think about the greater that he's invited you into. He said he's the door. John 10:10, my favorite passages of scripture. He says that the thief comes not but for to steal, kill, and destroy, but I am come that they might have life and that they may have that life more abundantly. My sheep hear my voice and they will come in and go out and find pasture. They will come in and go out and find pasture. So that means I'm not supposed to be static then, am I? I'm supposed to go from glory to glory. Since he's been gone, since he's already been caught up in the clouds, and he's given us commandment that when he left, to go and make disciples of all men and teach them to do everything that I taught you. So then, as we're doing the everything, that has to mean we're going to have to do new things. Amen. He didn't say, do the same thing. Behold, I give you a new commandment. I'm inviting you as the door. I'm inviting you into that which is new. And yet, here we are, still wrestling and trying to believe God for rent. The first time, I'm going to give you that one. But then after that, that should be an established fact. We should now just walk in that. Have that expectation that God is going to supply. He didn't say some. He said that my God is going to supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I'm just opening it up so that once we've said it, we then begin to live in it on an everyday basis. I say these things all the time. Peter was just walking down the street, going to get some bread. He was not going to start or have a healing meeting. He was simply walking down the streets. And as he was walking down the streets, the people said, let's put our carts, our little beds there, so that if by chance his very shadow would cause healing. And that's what happened. Amen. See, we need to expand our thinking, our position, so that he can do what he wants to do in the earth. We're supposed to be the ones that cause people to be thirsty, to want, have a desire for righteousness so that God can fill them. See? But I think that because we've lived under the of grace, of faith, that we have just stayed there. It's time for us to wake up, to go and do those exploits, to go and participate in the greater. Amen. He wants his words to live in us. That's what he said in John 15. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you shall ask what you will. Did you hear that? He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you will ask what you will, and it'll be given you. He didn't even say, you shall ask what you want. He didn't say, you shall ask what you need. Mm-hmm. He said, you shall ask what you will, and it'll be given you. That's a whole other place, isn't it? That's beyond some pie in the sky. That's some steak on my plate. Some ham where I am. You will ask what you will, and it'll be given you. God has caused you to be alive in the time when miracles, signs, and wonders are needed in the earth. Isn't that what he told us when he left? That he wants you to be a witness unto him? That your young men would dream dreams, old men have visions? He's wanting us to be able to cause people to ask out of a wonder that we release in the earth. He said he would work with us and he would confirm his word with signs that follow. And here we are following signs. See, he wants his church to be not on the cutting edge only, but to be on the moving cutting edge. Amen. that every time the Spirit of the Lord moves and the body of Christ is activated, things go to happening. That's why he wants us on the moving cutting edge. Not on the static cutting edge. That which has already been cut has been cut. But he wants us to go deeper, further into the things of the Spirit. Cutting edge, not cut edge. Oh, this is what this ministry is for. To awaken us unto righteousness. So that God can show himself strong, he said. He didn't say show himself weak. To show yourself strong, you would have to be able to meet every confrontation with an answer of glory. I'll say that again. To show yourself strong, you would have to be able to meet every confrontation with glory, with the move of glory. See, because it's the glory that makes the difference. When people see the glory of God show up, reverence happens whether they want to be saved or not. Amen. The first church had glory being released so much so that people were scared to join the church because they didn't know if they was going to be zapped out of here. Because you do remember Ananias and Sapphira, what happened to them, right? They didn't function the way God told them to function. Holy Ghost came back, and they lied to Peter and said that they sold the property for this much. It said that all of the, come on, oh, go there, Acts, just so we can see this. Acts chapter 4. Okay, this is how much glory was released by the church. And it should be the same as it started then. It should be the same flow of events in our life. It's going to increase, but it should be the same flow of perpetual increase. Let's say it that way. And the body of Christ should have the same flow of perpetual increase. God is the God of increase. Watch this. There were persecutions that was happening to the church. And God showed them, gave them a remembrance of what he had said, shook them, if you would, so that they can turn the world upside right. Watch this. Verse 29. After all these bad things was happening and the church was all scared, and then they began to pray and says, and now, Lord, behold their threatening. And grant unto thy servants that with all boldness, not with some boldness, that with all boldness. I did not say with all pride. I said with all boldness. See, when I am bold and confident in what God has said to me, I'll then be confident in what God says through me. Amen. See, but if I'm not confident in the, if I'm wishy-washy, then I don't have all boldness, do I? He says that I can declare and decree a thing and it'll be established unto me. I have the ability to call those things that be not as though they were. See? It's time for us to awaken unto this righteousness. And grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. And notice how they expected manifestations when the word was spoken, that they may speak thy word by stretching forth thine hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. Did you see that? He said, they said, we're going to say something and you're going to respond. He said, we're going to say some bold stuff. Some stuff that only you could have got done. This is what was happening in the first church, should be happening on a continual basis of increase for us. And now, grant unto thy servant. I'm going to go back here and just remind you that it didn't say grant to your apostles, did it? It said grant to your servants. Yes, they were called apostles, but they were also just called believers. This thing was still so new that they didn't have time to just frame it and leave it over there. This is for those God's chosen frozen. Because watch this. He's going to say something in here again that you're going to see. This is the power he wants us to walk in, church of today. And behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thine hand to heal. So then, when they said something, there was a response from heaven. You're going to give us the boldness to say the word, and then you're going to stretch forth your hands to heal, to deliver, that signs and wonders may be done by the name. Glory to God. It didn't say that these signs and wonders would be done by begging and pleading, did it? It said they would be done as we release the name. You know, at the end of our prayers, we say, in the name of Jesus. Well, they had expectation that when they said, in the name of Jesus, there would be a showing forth of that which they prayed for. It was not just a cute prayer. And it's gotten so bad, y'all, that I've heard the prayer modified, and it said, for Jesus' sake. He didn't tell us to pray for Jesus' sake. Jesus' sake doesn't need nothing. Amen. Neither does your sake need nothing, because he made you complete in him. But we don't understand how to walk in that authority. And a lot of that would fall on us as teachers. We haven't taught you that that's part of your heritage, because he's going to build you up and give you this inheritance because you are sanctified by his word. And then verse 31 says, and when they had prayed, it didn't say, and next month they went back and visited and hoped it would happen then. It said, and when they had prayed. I want to remind you that your God is a very present help in the time of trouble. That if two of you would agree as touching, oh, glory to God. Come on, y'all. If you would just agree as touching, he's in your midst. See, I appreciate, understand fasting. That's a whole nother subject. But here, to release the power of God, he needed agreement as touching. They didn't go and fast for a week. It said that when they had prayed, things began to happen. The place that they were prayed, standing in, was shaken together. What would happen if every time we prayed, there was a stirring or a moving of God? Remember John chapter 5, we might get over there, that was where I was headed, but we'll see. John chapter 5, when it says that there was a movement, a shaking of the pool at Bethesda. And then people would go there, and as soon as the water was troubled, the first one in got the answer to the prayer. But here, they prayed, and the place where they were assembled started shaking. Come on, y'all. As soon as they had prayed, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they all circled the word all there both times, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. and they spoke. And they spake the word of God with boldness. So when the Holy Ghost is in manifestation, boldness is one of the displays that he chooses to let us know that his presence is there, isn't it? I'm not praying mealy-mouth prayers. Holy Ghost causes me to pray boldness through the prayer. And it says, and what happened? And a multitude, I love the word multitude. That's not an itty-bitty gathering, is it? This is not some stuff that's hid in the closet, is it? This is supposed to impact entire world. God has always been interested in the world. Whosoever believeth on him should not perish. That's the world. He did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that by his son, the world. Yeah, so here we go, y'all, with some of this boldness. Let's just kind of investigate this since I'm here. Your bold prayers can reach to the other side of the world because God is interested in all of the world. The world is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell therein. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell therein. So your bold prayers can reach to the other side of the world since God is interested in those that are on the other side. I'm hoping you're getting this. That we're going to have to begin to release, and I'm going to say it the way I'm hearing, we begin to release fire in the earth instead of just trying to call fire down from heaven. The heaven has been deposited on the inside of you. All of the power in heaven has been placed inside of us believers. And if any two agree, shall be done. Amen. I mean, we need to stop praying the pitiful prayers. The Holy Ghost causes boldness. And once that boldness is released, multitudes are supposed to be affected. Amen. I'm just reading what's in here. I haven't put anything there. I haven't added anything to it. I didn't cause it to be changed around. It delineated exactly as it was. Holy Ghost, boldness, multitudes. Amen. Of them that believe were of one heart and one soul, neither had any of them aught said, any of them said, any that all of the things which he possessed was his own. Circle this, underline this, but they had all things in common. What do you mean? I can go to his house and I want to? No, he's not just talking about that. I can see that in there. But he's talking about the unity of the Spirit. That I knew that I'm not going to allow you to be in lack. I'm still going to physically meet the need, and he's going to speak to that right here. But we had, it didn't say, come on, y'all, I'm sorry. It didn't say we had some things in common, did it? So then my prayer is connected to your prayer, isn't it? How is it possible, then, that you're going to be in need? Oh, again, I am physically going to understand and be moved by the Spirit that I need to release what I got in my hand. Got no problem with that. But he said all things. And with great power gave he the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And underline this, let's go again. And great grace was upon them all. See, that's just not the way we think. Again, I'm not talking about you deciding that you're not going to work, so you're going to get the stuff that you need from somebody to be at work. You decided that since he's rich, he's going to have to meet the number. That's not what he said. He didn't say they had all money in common. I get that. But he said they had all things in common. Okay? We're going to have to begin to apply these things spiritually because they were spoken spiritually first. And they do manifest in the natural exceedingly abundantly above. You remember when God told the children of Israel to collect the silver and gold so that they can build the temple? Well, let me show you how it began to function in the natural. As they were collecting, it says that Solomon didn't even bother to inventory the silver because of the abundance. They only took inventory of the gold. And the silver was in heaps outside the city. The silver was in the city dump. Okay? I'm hoping that you get that. The silver was kept outside in the city dump. It wasn't even in there. Counted. It wasn't even accounted for anything. Now, that's just amazing to me. That because God got involved, increase happened. See? And we live under a better covenant, the Bible says. So then if we have a better covenant and we can get the people's heart connected to that, then we won't have to be dealing with lack, will we? It'll be our pleasure to go and meet the need of somebody else. It'll be our pleasure to do that. See? But we haven't come to that place of unity. See? We just haven't come to the place where we understand that we are one. They had all things in common. And great grace was upon them. Not a little bit of grace, y'all. But grace, great grace was upon them all. And verse 34 said, neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the pieces of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made to every man according as he had need. The Spirit of God had to give an unction for that to happen. Why am I going to go and sell my house so you can have somewhere to stay? Because God is showing us how to function in life so that there will be no need. If there is no need, well, let's just look at that. If there is no need, then there will be no stratifications of people, classes of people with it. Mm-hmm. Just remove that whole thing right quick. Because there is no poverty. There's only fulfillment. See? And that doesn't happen because I'm begging. That happened because the Spirit of God moved. They prayed, move, Lord, by your Spirit, so that there will be signs and wonders. So he moved, and there was a sign of giving and a wonder why ain't nobody broke. I'm just, you know, if we can get that. See? God wants us to enjoy everything that he has. Mm-hmm. God wants us to enjoy everything that he has. And one of the things that he has is the people. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Amen. So then if I'm not willing to help brother or sister, then I'm not interested in what God is interested in. Because he's interested in the people. And then as we go on into chapter 5, and again, I was just citing this as a point where we have to get to the place where our identity is in him, not in our greatness. So it says that they laid down the whatever they sold it for at the apostles' feet. And so that every man, according to every man, had need. And then verse 37 said, and having land, this person sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Chapter 5, but a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold the possession and kept back a part of it, his wife also being privy to it. And they brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. And Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Ghost, to keep back a part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not in thine own? And after you sold it, was it not in your hand, in the power of your hand? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? Thou hast lied unto, not unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing this, these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came upon them all that heard these things. And then the young men arose and wound him up, carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours that his wife came, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter said, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yeah, for so much. And then Peter said, how is it that you agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried your husband are at the door, and they shall carry thee out. Then she fell straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came and found her dead, carrying her forth and buried her next to the husband. And great fear came upon the church and upon all as many as heard these things. So God was interested in getting everybody blessed and everybody out of the grip of what society had done to cause them to think that my station is better than your station and blah, blah, blah. So it's interesting to me now that they had the money and they kept back the money. And it didn't say that they was buried with that money that they kept back, did it? Yeah. God got the money anyway, didn't he? The church got the money anyway. But did God have the heart of the people? See, his word should live in us, by us, through us, so that all can be blessed. We need to look at things from God's perspective. Is God interested in just causing one person to enjoy? Or does God want everybody to fully participate because great grace was upon them all? See? Because God said he's going to cause blessings to come upon us and overtake us. Because he's daily wanting to load us down with benefits. Wow, hadn't thought of that. So God's wanting to daily load us down with benefits. And we're trying to figure out where we can stash money so that we can barely make it. I'm not talking against wise financial planning. I have no issue with that. I understand that. I'm talking about the position and condition of our hearts. Turn to Luke chapter 17. And the disciples were having issues trying to protect themselves and make themselves who they thought they were supposed to be. And Jesus was teaching them that faith that you have is the most important thing that's necessary for your life. Because the just live by what? They live by faith. They don't live by savings. They live by faith. They don't live by T-bills. They live by faith. But they didn't do this the right way. So then now Jesus is going to speak to how offenses mess up the flow of God. Okay, watch this. Chapter 17, we're going to go through the verse, but I don't know, by half of this chapter. Then, verse 1, then he said to his disciples, it's impossible, but that offenses will come. But woe be unto him through whom they come. For it is better that a millstone be hanged about his neck and cast into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourself. If your brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. If he repent, forgive him. If he trespass against thee, 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day, turn to thee again and saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostle said, Lord, increase our faith. So if your brother does do something against you, you're supposed to go to him and rebuke him. Another place he said, you and him alone. And if he don't receive you, take another. But notice he wants it to be heart-to-heart connections here. If your brother offends thee, rebuke him. It didn't say tell on him, did it? It said rebuke him. And then if he forgives you, if he says, I'm sorry, you should forgive him. It didn't say there if he makes restitution, did it? We kind of combine scripture to get our way rather than allow scripture to stand by itself. It says, if your brother trespass against you and say to you, I'm sorry, up to 7 times a day for the same thing. Amen. And then we say, oh, I don't have the faith for that. Yes, you do. The problem is you didn't use the faith. So then the abundance, and he's going to talk about that in just a minute. That's why I went here. The abundance that God is trying to get to flow into your life, you cut it off by holding on to something that was not necessary. You lose something that was necessary. We need increase in our life. So in order to get increase, the quickest way to get increase in our life is to release the stuff we don't need in our life. You don't need faith to overcome this mountain. You need faith to release the offense. So listen, you go on, watch this. In verse 5, and the apostles didn't get it. They said, Lord, increase our faith. And Jesus said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you would say to this sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the root and planted into the sea, and it would obey you. He said, wait a minute. If I can get you to use your faith correctly, it'll move what's going to become a mountain in your life. Something that you're looking at that you think is impossible. He said, I told you, it's impossible, but offenses are going to come. The one that causes the offense, he's going to have to deal with that. What I need for you to deal with is releasing him. He said, if you would say to this mountain, be thou plucked up by, come on, if you say to the sycamore tree, I'm sorry, be thou plucked up by the root. So then the question that you can see in here is, are you sick of the things that you going through? If you're not, keep holding on to them. But I'm sick of mine. And I say to the things I'm sick of, sycamore tree, be thou plucked up. And be thou cast into the sea. Be plucked up by the root and get away from me. Be plucked Be plucked up by the root and go into a place where you are now insignificant. In front of me, you might be a big tree. But when I pluck you up by the root and plant you into the sea, I can no longer view you the same. This is how we're supposed to stay connected to God. Let him be bigger than our problems. And he said that when you do that, that the sycamore tree that you commanded to go would obey you.
Wow.
The thing that's troubling you, that's in front of you, that's got you all twisted, because most trees have growings in them that keep you from going straight through, twisted. But if you would say to it, be thou plucked up by the root and be planted into the sea, it will obey you. Then he says, verse 7 following is going to talk to us about faith being the servant for the things that we need to have done in our life. Watch this. They asked about faith, didn't they? They were not talking about sycamore trees. Jesus used that as an analogy, something they could see, okay? But they asked him about faith. They said, Lord, increase our faith. They didn't say, Lord, give us a sycamore tree training. And so then Jesus is going to talk to them about using faith. How will he use faith? He will use faith as the servant. Okay. I need help getting a thing done. So then my servant, faith, is there to help me to get the thing done, whatever it is. It doesn't matter. But if I'm going to look at the issue as something that is immovable and I can't get through because it's just in my way, then my faith servant is not being used, is it? Verse 5. The apostle said, Lord, increase our faith. And Jesus' response was, which of you, having a servant, plowing in the field, already doing something. The servant is in the field. Watch this. Which of you, having a servant that's plowing in the field, or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he's come from the field, go and sit down to me, and would not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, gird myself that I may sup. So I need for you to do something, servant. Go get dressed and serve me till I've eaten and drunken. Then afterwards, you will be able to eat and drink. Then you said, wait a minute, I'm sorry. Let me turn around here. Look at this again. I've got just a different font. Changing my font here. Would not say unto that servant, would rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup. Get dressed, serve me till I have eaten and drunken. And afterward, thou shalt eat and drink. Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that he was commanded him? I trow not. The word trow there is an old English that means I think not. So likewise, ye, when you've done all the things that you were commanded, you say, we were unprofitable servants. We've done that which is our duty to do. So faith doesn't say what we say. Jesus tells us to forgive. And we say, it's unprofitable for me to do what you just told me to do. I just did what my duty was. I didn't have no part of it with my heart. Not connected in my heart at all. See, he's trying to get us to check what's in that heart of ours. Your faith is your servant. And notice the servant was doing multiple things. He was plowing or feeding. See? And serving when you came in to eat. So then Jesus has given us an understanding that the faith doesn't have a problem doing multiple things. Amen. In fact, you should cause the faith to perpetually be busy. Amen. As I look at this as a parable, if you would, then my faith should always be busy doing something, doing work in the kingdom, getting the accomplishments lined up so that when I command, let's get this done because I heard from God, let's get this done because I heard from God, those commandments now can easily be executed. The Bible says that the angels of the Lord are there. They excel in strength, and they listen to what you tell them to do. They hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord. Okay? And so then, in this teaching, he doesn't stop chapter and verse, okay? She's showing you how the servant of faith works, sending his word because he said so. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers. And they stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourself to the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, glorified God, fell down in his face and his feet, at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? Notice Jesus used his faith. Okay, just look at it. It says they were afar off. Well, the reason why they were afar off is because that's what the law commanded them to do, that they were not able to be in fellowship with people. Okay? They had to walk around all day, and if somebody came that was not a leper, they had to say, screaming, unclean, unclean, so that they would pass by on the other side. Okay? So then they still did what they were supposed to do legally, but they still let their voice be heard, didn't they? And they said, Master, Jesus, have mercy on them. And when Jesus saw them, he did what? He said to them. So he sent the word, didn't he? He sent faith into action, because faith is the word. He sent the word and said, go show yourself unto the priest. Now, you've got to understand that these lepers are very aware that if they go and tell the priest they're clean and they're not clean, it's not good for them. See? So then they had to activate faith right then, didn't they? They did not understand it, and you can see that. And so it came to pass that as they went, you might want to circle this, they were cleansed. And one of them saw that he was healed, turned back, giving thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And then Jesus asked him and said, were there not 10 cleansed? He didn't even say, were there not 10 that I spoke to? He said, I released a word into their life. And the one that received that word came back and gave thanks because the word was active in his life. The other 9 just kept on saying, okay, he didn't love me enough. How many times in our lives have we felt that we had a word from God, but it didn't meet the standard that we had? We thought for sure he would have done, waved a wand or something, or at least told me to go dip in the pool. See, we have to take the word that was spoken because he said it and use the word as my avenue of escape. See, I'm not thinking about me going through a process of dipping and anything else, I use the word as my process of escape. Because he said, go show yourself to the priest. And so they went, and as they went, they were cleansed. He says, where are the nine? They are not found to return to give God the glory, save this stranger. And then listen again. He said unto the one that came back, go. He said, arise. I love that. He told him not just to get up off the ground, because he's speaking to us in our spirit just as much as he's speaking to the condition. He said, arise. Stop operating at a low level of thinking, at a low level of believing. Arise. And notice this time, when he told him to arise, he told him to go his way. So he knows he's going to have to go back through all of the people that was Jonathan. You said you were a leper. What are you talking about? You want to eat with me. Go your way. Go back and walk through everything that has caused you injury, because I'm giving you the ability to speak to sick of mine trees. See? You're going to have to go through the emotional hurts and scars. See? It says, go your way. Why? Because your faith has made you whole. I believe that's a prophetic word, because I know that God watches over his word to perform it. He told them, go show yourself to the priest. After the man recognized it, he came back and now he said, go your way. He's watching over the word of go. So that the man's way, come on now, the man's way is going to be prosperous now. Why would the man's way be prosperous? Because Jesus just told the man to go. He's going to watch over that word to perform it. When God says something, he just did something. I want you to hear that. When you get a revelation, it says this in Psalms 119, 130. It says the entrance of his word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. So when God says something to you, he just did something in your midst. I don't want you to ignore it. Forget about it. No, I need for you to go back and hear, find out what God was up to. This is how we learn the exchange of faith. God said something, something was done. So then I can rejoice in that which was said because it was done. Okay? I need to pursue faith in what he said to me. And all my getting, I'm supposed to get understanding. See? Because the faith came. So then I need to function in the faith that came. He said, if I just got one word, a seed, a mustard seed of faith. So one word, the word go, was enough for that leper's whole life to be changed. He now can prosper in his way because the master told him, go. Okay. If I think I've heard this word before, I'm going to ignore that word. And if I ignore that word, then my results will be exactly the same. They won't move. There is no increase. Because this is because he said it. I have to function in what he said. I have to walk in what he said. As I walk in what he said, my understanding will come. That's what it says in Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, we understand. See? It didn't say by seeing we understand. That's where we've messed this up. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed. So what he told me to do is what I'm going to do. As I go in faith to do that, then my understanding will become fruitful. See, I'm pursuing faith. This is the language, the language exchange system. Because faith is an exchange system. It's a language and an exchange system. Okay? And all languages have to be learned. So then one word is just a vocabulary building exercise for me. So then I go and meditate on that word. I go and chop up, dig up that word. Meditate means to mull over, over and over. So I'm going to go and dissect it. I'm going to find out how he said what he said instead of why he said it. Because if I think that why he said it is because I'm hurting and I need him to heal me, see, I didn't understand the working of that language. He said go. So then my faith in go has to be, I have a support structure. I have something that can stand, something I can be sustained by, something that will cause me to stand. When he told Peter one word in the lake, one word was come. And Jesus came to him walking on the water. See? So we take that word and we continue to process that word in our spirit man. Process that word over and over, and even in our soul. Because our spirit man awakens our soul. See? I go and I say, okay, he causes me to be in a place of still waters. And in that place of still waters, he's going to restore my soul. So I cannot come there with agitations, talking about, God, you ain't did nothing. That's not a still water, is it? It don't look like you did nothing. So I'm going to go, no, I'm supposed to lay down in green pastures by still waters and have my soul restored. See? And as I participate in the plan of God, agreeing with him that the go meant for me to go in the spirit, that go meant for me to go in my soul, that go meant for me to go in the natural. See, I'm not going to stay here. He told me to go. So I can't be here arguing with God about the thing I don't see. He told me to go. That means I should have motion in the spirit. I should have an elevation. He makes me lift up my head above my enemy. I should have elevation in the spirit. I have to expand my dwelling place. I can go and rehearse over and over again. So now I'm going to go amongst my friends, amongst my community now. And he told me to go. I will not be stopped, stalled in my own spirit. See, as I get accustomed to these things, then the thing that used to be difficult will no longer be difficult, because I have been raised up together, seated in heavenly places with him, far above all principalities, power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that world which is to come. I see myself sitting there. So as I'm seated at that table, I will be fed. See, I no longer see myself as incapable of doing it. I'm no longer stalled by the enemy and the I can'ts of my own mind. I hear the word go. I hear the word arise and go. Thank you. I hear the word arise and go. So I'm recognizing that the strength of God was already given to me, because the arise means I don't have to stay where I am. I've been given permission. Let's look at it this way. I've been given permission and authority. Arise, go. Amen. Okay. So then I'm not going to be disobedient to the heavenly vision, to the heavenly word. I'm going to arise on the inside. I'm going to stop saying, just because I'm black, I can't do this. I have to arise. See? That word that he sent was sent to heal and to deliver. In order for the deliverance to take place, the transfer from one point to another, that's what deliverance would be. It means to move you from here to there. In order to do that, first there has to be the arising, the ascent first. If I'm sitting on my butt, I can't go. So the first thing I'm going to have to do is to stand, having done all to stand therefore. Now I can go into the place. I can pursue faith now. Because I'm not trying to walk in my hurt. I'm no longer walking in my frustration. I'm arising past frustration, past disappointment. Okay? And I become accustomed to that level. And now I see that I have been standing up. And because my eyes have been lifted up, because if I get off my butt, I will be in a higher place. And now I can see my surroundings from a different perspective. I can see my need being met now. I'm not one that lacks. I'm one that supplies now. See? So I get to exchange the faith language now gets to exchange things in my spirit. I no longer hear no, I hear go. We have to change through this vocabulary building. We have to change what we've been saying in our hearts and with our mouth. That's the way salvation takes place, according to Romans 10:10. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. See? So he told them to arise, go your way. Faith now has finished the job in this area. And now you can use the same formula. I hate to say the word formula, the same process. I'll say that. You can use the same process to get to the next level. First, you will arise and then move. You will hear the word because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. Then you will have an ascent. That's not mental. I am not talking about a mental ascension. I'm talking about your soul coming to the place where you believe what you heard from the word of God. He told Peter, one more example here, Matthew chapter 14. Starting at verse 14. He gave the disciples understandings. He told them to go over to the other side. And in one of these accounts, because this, you see this a couple of places, he told, this time he was just preaching. Well, that's right. This is before he did that. Starting at verse 14. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude. And he was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, the disciples came to him, saying, "This is a desert place." Notice the disciples were looking at, moved by their outside condition, okay? And Jesus is going to try to teach them how to stop living by their outside condition. He said, "This is a desert place, and now time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals." And Jesus said to them, "They not need depart. Give ye them to eat." And they said, "We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. It's going to be a fight, Jesus. If you want me to feed them with these 2 loaves, 5 loaves and 2 fishes, it's going to be a fight here, Jesus." And he said, "Bring what you got to me." And then he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed it and broke it and gave the loaves to the disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up fragments that remained and 12 basketful. And when they had eaten, they that had eaten was about 5,000 men besides the women and children. And straightway Jesus constrained them to go into a ship and go before him to the other side. And he went in the multitude to pray. It's an interesting thing that what happened is he told them, this is what I need for you to do. I need for you to feed them. Expand your capacity. I'm going to expand your sight so that you can expand your capacity. I'm going to show you what to do. You don't need to send them away to feed them. You do it. We ain't got nothing. He said, give me what you got. And it says that he blessed it. And another, I think it was Mark, it says, and he blessed it. Looking up to heaven, he said to his father, Father, I thank you. He went through the process of thanksgiving. He's teaching them how to hear, how to have the transfer of communication, the language of heaven, faith. See, he didn't go there and say, God, we got a whole bunch of people. I mean, you got to remember that 5,000 men is a bunch of miles to feed. And it said that there was women and children there too. So we can estimate the number could easily exceed 15,000 people. And it didn't just say they had a snack. It said they ate and they were all filled. Then he took up fragments after everybody had ate. And he had 12 baskets full of fish and 12 baskets full of bread. See, if we would have our hearts in the right position, have our sight with an understanding that I'm not the one limited. I am the one that has been given the right to arise and then go into the new dimension. See, I don't have to stay here making sure everybody else get away from me while I live my life. No, I can show them how to live the same life that I'm inviting them to. See? This is how we grow in the spirit. This is how his kingdom is going to come. It's not going to come by me thinking that I have to protect myself, Ananias and Sapphira, that I have to, I'm going to give a little bit. No, I have to show them that there is no way possible to live, to lose in God. That boy had that two-piece dinner. He didn't know that this was going to happen like this. But that boy got to watch and experience and see the blessing of the Lord for himself. He ended up taking away more than he started with and an education. That's what Jesus will do for us. He's interested in both areas of our life. He's interested in us learning in the natural and in our learning in the spirit. He's teaching us about order. I get that. He made them all sit down in order. Got that. No problem with that. So he was teaching them thanksgiving, blessing, and order. He's teaching them multiplication by blessing. Let's do it that way. Because he took the bread and blessed it. So he's teaching them multiplication by blessing and thanksgiving by order. Well, I hope y'all got that. He's teaching them multiplication by thanksgiving. So then in your situation, do you want the increase? Well, then find out where thanksgiving and blessing can make the difference. Thank God for what you got. Got that. But then he said, I thank you, Father, that you always hear me. And I lift this up to you because you know what the need is. You know what the requirement is necessary. So I thank you, Lord, that you always hear me. Not just hear me beg, but you hear me. You hear me when I spoke faith and say that I'm going to feed more than what I have need of, what I got in my hand. You've heard me when I said that. You heard my heart when I agreed with you that I said, yes, we can do whatever is necessary in this time. You heard me say that. So then because you heard me, not just beg, but you heard me say that you always know when my heart is speaking to you. You didn't tell me to send them away. So since you didn't tell me to send them away hungry, that means that you're going to feed them. I heard that, and you know that my heart heard that, Lord. There's an exchange system. There's a vocabulary that's going on. Because Jesus only did what the Father told him to do. He only said what the Father, what he heard the Father say. So he didn't say to them, feed them without hearing it from God. The mere fact that he said feed them means that he heard God said it to him. Amen. See? So then, since God said it to us, then we need to believe that, understand that, walk in that, grow in that, become sensitive to that. And then because I heard you, Father, now I thank you that this which is in my hand, it is enough. I bless it. So I learned multiplication through blessing. Thanksgiving caused me to get to the place of order. So whatever you're facing, beloved, God has already sent you a word that would cause you to be able to win. Because there is no temptation taking you, but such is his common demand. And God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that you may bear it. So because you're there, God has said to you already, you can stand, you can win. It wouldn't be there if you could not win. So then we have to change our heart's position and hear that the word that he said, because he said it. So then I'm able, I'm prepared for this. So because you said it, yes, sir. So then now I can learn multiplication through my blessing. And my thanksgiving leads me to order, which guarantees the victory will be seen, understood, and perceived by everybody. Well, I'm not doing this well. Well, in the name of Jesus is where all of your supply is. And he said, we beseech you, show, Father, stretch forth your hand to heal, that wonders and signs may be done by the name of your holy child, Jesus. So he's giving you the name. You got everything you need. Because everything that you need, wonders, miracles, breakthrough, has been given to you by the name. There is no other name given among men whereby they must be saved. So he's giving you the name. So now your heart's position has to use that. Bless. Multiplication comes out of the blessing because I've been given the name. And thanksgiving causes order. Straighten the situations out so that they then are easy for me to find in my next step. But the choice is yours. Your way, frustration, fear, worry, or God's way, the language of faith, the understanding of patience, the obedience that's necessary to cause victory. Your way or God's way? God's waiting on you today. Father, we just thank you and bless you that you spoke to our heart, opened up our understanding, and given us the ability to stand, having done all to stand. Thank you, Father, that we will then arise and go, because faith is alive and our destiny is then made easy to reach, because you said, I can go my way. Thank you, Father, for a word that causes victory in my life because it's alive in my heart. We give you praise, sir. We give you glory and honor for that. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Well, as we said before, if you have any comments or questions about the ministry, we'll give you an opportunity now to do that. So area code 678-237-8496. You have the mic. Area code 678-237. Yeah, go ahead.
Yes. I just want to say again, thank you for an amazing ministry. As you were speaking, I couldn't help but hear the Holy Spirit just reminding us that we have to wrap ourselves in the Word so that we can execute that faith language and that we can able to speak and call those things to be not as though they were. And you said something that was so profound, is that God said it, now walk in faith and execute it, as Jesus only did what the Father did. So just amazing word, and thank you.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you for being part of the ministry today. Amen. That was just good to see the application that he brought forth, just being a hearer, then a doer, because the faith came. God has already given you everything that you need that pertains to life and godliness. And he put life first. So then you have the promise. We just need to begin to process and utilize that promise. Area code 678-677-7795. You have the mic. Any questions or comments about the ministry tonight? 678-677-7795. Any questions or comments? Amen. And everybody else, looks like they are left the site. So again, I want to thank you for joining us here at livedeliverance.com, at Blog Talk Radio. And if the Lord is laying on your heart to sow a seed, hear and obey, simply go to the website and you can look for the donate tab on the website, and God will cause his blessings to flow through the portal that you have a cause to be open. I spoke it through this ministry, and you bless this ministry. That portal is open to you for God to get needs in your life met supernaturally. So again, until the next time when we get together, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. So until the next time, be blessed.